Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for calling in on the House of Peter Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Iris. And today I wanted to talk to you about spiritual balance and and how it can affect, you know, it can affect our process if we're not balanced right between the natural and the spiritual. So I wanted to talk to you about Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And we're going to talk about two different verses that I found interesting and and the revelation I received off of that. So let's get started. Let's invite Father in. Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for the 30 minutes of impact that you are giving us, God. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes, that you would give us ears to hear, and that we would hear you clearly on what you are telling us today, Father, that we would be obedient to what you are asking of us, Father, that you would just woo us in to a deeper level in you, Father. Papa, we ask, Lord, that you would have your way in our lives and that you would be the first that above everything we do in life, that you would be our first in everything we do. And we ask that you steal that in Jesus' name. It's always good to invite the Father in to every conversation that we have because he is the one that leads us into a greater level of clarity. So in chapter Luke, in Luke chapter 4, verse 38, in the King James Version, you'll find that it says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Martha, Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And the next verse, where it's New Living Translation, she says, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." And the Lord said, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. Only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." I find it interesting a few things. The King James Version says, "Do you not care?" You know, she told Jesus, like, "Do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? You know, tell her to come and help me." And Jesus answered, and he was like, "Martha, you know, you're so careful and troubled about so many things, but there's only one thing that's really needed." And he goes on to say that Mary has it, and she chose to keep it. You know, the New Living Translation says, she says, "Lord, isn't it unfair to you?" I mean, when I read that verse in the version, I thought about what was Martha's mindset, you know, and I started to realize how privileged we are to know Jesus the way we do. You know, back then, the Holy Spirit was not yet released. So they couldn't have, I guess, from my point of view, they couldn't have had that mentality we have now about the revelation about the Son of God. You know, they didn't have that revelation. They saw a man who created healing, miracles, signs and wonders. He even said in one part of the signs and wonders, "You guys don't believe." So even at one point, you know, Jesus acknowledged that if I don't do these things, you guys wouldn't believe. I can't even imagine the struggle within the people that Jesus was having to get them to recognize him as the Son of God. You know, so when I read her, you know, telling God, "Jesus, oh, do you not care? Isn't it unfair to you?" Jesus is like, you know, for us, it's like, "Martha, what was your mind? What were you thinking asking Jesus if it was unfair to him or does he not care?" So that alone was like, okay, Martha, so you have to think. I start to think and I see the privilege we have of having the Holy Spirit. So one thing you know for sure is that you are filled with the Holy Ghost, okay? That's lesson one from your spiritual balance. If there's anyone who can actually balance your life out, it's the Holy Spirit. But for some reason, a lot of times people seem to, he's always the third party that no one ever wants to talk to, or always the third party that no one ever wants to sit down and listen to. The Holy Spirit is much needed in your spiritual life. There was another thing here It says some believers are, okay, so you have two different types of things going on here. You have Martha who believed in Jesus, but is so wrapped up and worried about all the natural things that have to take place that sitting at the feet of Jesus to hear the word is just not needed for right now because I have to have my house in order. I have to make dinner. I have to make sure dinner is done. I have to make sure the homework's done. I have to make sure I go to work. I have to make sure. Well, then, if you come to think about it, you have 24 hours in a day. 24 hours in a day. If you're saying that 24 hours in a day is not enough to get things done, then you're calling the Father, you're saying God made a mistake making 24 hours a day. There was an error in God's timing. That's a lie. He gave you 24 hours because he knew for sure that in 24 hours you could get much done, much needed. But it's what you're doing in your time management that's leading you to waste your life in unnecessary things. See, and that's what he was telling Martha. Martha, Mary has found the one thing that is needed, the one thing that is worth, the one thing that is concerned, and she found it, and I can't take that away from her. What she found was that she, in order to balance out her life between the spiritual and the natural, she needed to be at the feet of Jesus. You have the other believers, so you have Mary, who knows that all she needs is Jesus, and sits at the feet of Jesus. Those are the ones that the other ones that are Marthas look at and say, oh, they're so careless. Oh, they're so carefree. They seem like they just don't care about the world. They kind of like generate them into like hippies or charismatics. But, you know, we're all the same. The problem is that one has found the Mary in their life and the other one has found the Martha. And then the one who has Martha has also found Mary and Martha. Martha just hasn't found Mary. So you see, that's the problem between having to balance yourself. If you can't find that 24 hours is in a day is enough for you, that you can't get enough done, then there's a problem. I want to also address Mary. Mary of Bethany was seen three times in the gospel, okay? But at all the occasions, she was in the same place at the feet of Jesus. Okay, her first time, she sat and listened to his word, and we found that in Luke 10, verse 39. The second time, she fell at his feet and shared her woe. So that's John chapter 11, verse 32. She fell at the feet and shared her burden. She said, it's too much. I'm overloaded. I can't bear this. Father, here I am. Many times we don't do that. Many times we want to be like a donkey sitting on an overload and the cart seems to get heavy and heavier. Mind you, the donkey's in the air not moving anywhere, and that's where you get stuck. That's where you're not growing in spirituality because you're trying to take on something you can't do alone. You have to give the load. You have to give the burden to God. You have to give it to Jesus. You have to lay it at his feet. When he says, cast your cares upon me, cast your cares upon the cross, he really means come. Come be a Mary. Come sit it. Come and put all your burdens here at the cross. The third one was she fell at his feet and poured out a worship. That was John chapter 11. And I don't believe that was chapter 11, but I'm going to look into that reference. But I know it was in John. And it was John chapter 12, verse 3. Thank you. John chapter 12, verse 3. So he fell at his feet, poured out her worship. Okay, so those are the three different occasions, and you find Mary at the feet of Jesus. Now, I'm not just talking about women here. I'm talking about men, men being the leadership, men being pastors, men having to run around. It's a human thing of a yoke of busyness. You know, sometimes even you could get into ministry, and you could get so caught up in doing all the ministry work that you forgot to come and sit at the feet of Jesus. This is the place where we find our rest. This is the place where we find our strength. This is the place where we find our motivation, inspiration. You know, this is the place where Joshua used to go and get equipped from God. Joshua had no one to encourage him but God. So you have to remember that, number one, in your spiritual life, you have to come to the feet of Jesus. You know, each time that Mary did these, each time she came to the feet of Jesus, she was coming with some kind of fragrance. Okay, you know, they said that the children of Christ will be like a fragrance of Christ. You'll be a perfume of Christ. People will know you from your smell because you smell like Jesus. Don't you ever want to get into that place of your spiritual life where you're going to be walking in and people smell you and know that you're not from here, that there's something different about you. You don't smell like everyone else. There's a beautiful essence coming out of your pore. Not only do you glow, but now you have the smell of Christ. This is what, you know, this is the place where God wants to lure you into. It says each one has some kind of fragrance. In Luke 10, it was the smell of food. Look how symbolic this is. In John 11, it was the smell of death. And in John 12, it was the smell of perfume. Look at the pattern that Jesus is already laying down if we just open our eyes to see and let our ears hear what he is saying. He's saying, I'm asking you to come and eat. Come eat. Work your Bible. Live your Bible. Read your Bible. Meditate on the word day and night. Let it burn into your heart so that you may live it out. The second thing it says, death. There was a smell of death. What does it say? That every day you have to die daily. Every day you have to put yourself on the cross and die already. Why? Because you get in the way of what the Lord is trying to do. You need to get your hands out of the way. So notice that you have to kill the flesh on the daily basis. On the daily basis, killing the flesh. Not one day has to go by where you don't kill the flesh, because the flesh is always going to want to manifest. And the last thing, it was the perfume, the oil, the fragrance. The Revelation says that our prayers are like incense to the throne. It becomes like a fragrance to the Father's nose. Those are your prayers. Those are when you worship. That's the things that you do for God that goes up and comes out as a perfume and hits the throne room. And God knows that you are sitting with him, before him, and he smells it, he hears it, and you begin to have this what? This encounter with God where he begins to pour out his love to you. You and you begin to pour out your love back, and this is now becoming a fellowship area between you and God. See, a lot of times people don't understand that it is what you do in private is that God sees. It's where you're at in private. It's where you're at in your secret places. Where you're at in the closet that God sees. He does not. He loves when we worship and when we come to church and we unify and we come together and we come into an agreement, we come into corporate prayer. That's great. But what does God honor and love so much is that you are an individual person with an individual salvation sitting before the Father individually saying, here I am, Father, have your way. Speak to me. Love me. Pour out on me. And that's what he wants. He wants that relationship. For many of those who sit here don't have a dad, we've craved and always wanted us to have that relationship, and now's the time you're having it. This is the time you have a father who loves you, who cares for you, who will never abandon you, who will never forsake you, who said, I created you for greatness on the world. You're not just here to work. You're not here for the yoke of busyness. You're here because I created you as a form of worship, as a form of praise, as a form of love. I need you to move in this realm. So in order for you to be in this realm, you have to be you have to have a spiritual balance. Because when you're not spiritually balanced, people that are enhanced in discernment can see that you're off. They can tell where you're off. You know, there's many times I encounter people and I know exactly where they're off. So this is something that cannot be hidden. This can't be hidden. You can hide it. You can hide it with all your busyness. But at the end of the day, Father sees all. He knows all. And he hears all. And he understands all, and he's merciful, and he has grace, and he's waiting for you to come and just sit at his feet. This is Jesus. This is who has came and laid down his life for us. Okay, so your worship is a form of expression in many of your different circumstances. You know, life gets so crazy, and you just say, God, I just need a break. How about many of us say, we just need a vacation? But you know, you don't need a break. You don't need a vacation. What you need is come to rest. You need to come into a place where Jesus, you need to come to the feet of Jesus and say, I can't take it. I can't handle it. I'm done doing it all. You know, I'm reading a book here, and I forgot what the author's name is, but it's called the Burden Carrier. And I started with chapter one, and it talks about being a burden carrier and how many things can be put in the backpack of the burden carrier. Not only do you get the burdens of the Father, where you feel the Father's heart, you feel his love, you feel the burdens for the world, the burdens for the lost, for the homeless, and you can't help but to carry that because you are connected to the Father's heart. But there's something that God always places next to you. There's someone who's always going to be your friend, and his name is Be Strong. okay? Because there's nothing that you cannot do in Christ. The Bible says that in Christ, all things are possible. Within him, we find our strength. So if that is true, and we are burden carriers who are carrying our back, doesn't mean that you cannot put your backpack down and come and sit at Jesus' feet and get that back in you, get the strength, get the courage, the motivation you need. God still speaks, and he is dying to talk to you. I advise that when you come into this, the feet of Jesus, that you just be still and be silent. Tell your mind that you cannot. And when things pop up, oh, don't forget you have to do this. Don't forget you have to do that. Say thank you, write it down, and put it aside. Do not move from your position. Soldiers do not move from their position. If they are assigned to a location at an army base, or they're assigned to a location at the battleground, they are not to move until told to do so. You are to position yourself as a soldier. I am not getting up here, off from here, until God tells me it's okay, till the Holy Spirit releases me. And let God pour into you. Many times we forget to come back and ask the Father for things. You know, we make our own decisions, or sometimes we're just so busy we don't have time to make a decision. Those are all lies. Those are all yokes of busyness from the enemy himself. And sometimes it's not even the enemy. Sometimes it's just us. We just want to bury ourselves in work. Why? This is one thing I've noticed. When people bury themselves and make themselves busy, they technically don't want to deal with what really is going on inside of you. Okay, I've noticed that people, when they have to go through a healing process, they will try everything in their way not to go through the healing, not to have to face what they've been through, and not to have to heal from it. So they will pile on work so they don't have to sit there and think about all the healing and stuff that needs to be healed, and so they rather work. So they're like beavers in the ground, or groundhogs in the ground, making holes all the way around, and only when they finally pop up their head from the ground, they see all the healing that needs to take place, and they go back on the ground, and they begin to work again. Very open, with our eyes open, to see and hear what the Lord is asking of us, because you can get so caught up in busyness that you'll never grow spiritually. Forget about being balanced. You're just never going to grow spiritually. And God wants us to grow. He wants us to mature, and he wants you to balance out your life. So as believers, we have to make a choice. Believers want to be a worker like Martha, or you want to be a worshiper like Mary. The key to the spiritual life is to apply the priorities, to make the right priorities. Okay, you have to align your priorities. You know what I learned in college? You have to have a time management. So what they would make us do is they would make us print out the hours of the day off of, I believe it was Outlook, because you could do that. And you would write down everything you have to do at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, I have to do this. And that will show you where you're wasting time. When you start to analyze where you're wasting your time, you'll start to see, well, you see, I really do have all this time, and I can be doing something that I enjoy. I can be doing something that I actually like doing. I can have free time. So if there's anything I ask, is that first you would get your priorities straight. Write out a timeline and start to write, well, this, or maybe even get an agenda book and write on your agenda book, this is what I'm doing at 9, this is what I do at 10. If you work from 8 to 5, well, then 8 to 5 I'm working, but from this time to this time, this is what I'm doing, and then at this time I can sit at the feet of Jesus and actually maybe read a good book after you're done reading the Word. Because the Word is always first. If you're putting books before the Bible, then you have a problem. You have to have the Bible before the book, because you have to get yourself cleansed. You have to start to have the mind renewed, and the only way you can renew your mind is by going through the Bible. So Jesus first. This is your priority. Jesus first, then others, than yourselves. If you are an early morning person, then do the early morning thing and seek him. Do a daily devotional. Begin to abide in him. How do you abide? Well, you get a notebook, okay, and you ask the Father, what do you want me to know, God? Where do you want to take me? And you open up your Bible. He will lead you through that. So he will say, okay, today I'm going to talk to you about this. He might give you John John 11:12. So let's say you get into John 11:12. He's going to tell you something in there. You're going to write down the scripture. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to say, okay, God, so what are you saying? And God will give you this great revelation about what he wants you to know. And believe it or not, all the prophetic words that you're running around trying to receive, getting it right there. You're getting that prophetic word one-on-one. You're getting it straight from God. You know, sometimes you get a prophetic word from someone and you know there's more, but you don't get it from them because God wants to give it to you. God wants to be the one to provide for you that prophetic word. He wants to have that encounter with you. I cannot be a mother and not speak to my children. What mother would I be if I didn't have a conversation with my sons and my daughter? I have to talk to them. I need to talk to them. That is my relationship with them. So that's the same thing that God wants. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a relationship. So he's going to sit you down. He's going to give you a scripture, and he's going to give you this great, awesome revelation. And at the end of it, you're going to title it, and you're going to put, this is what it is. And you're going to date it, and you're going to say, that's my today. That's what, and you'll go back to that when you're feeling discouraged. You'll go back to that when you need some encouragement. Okay? And God will always speak to you, and always that's an on-time word. I promise, he never fails. The next thing is, when you are, that's exactly where we're coming into this place now, where when we are yoked into our busyness, we are ignoring the Lord, okay? It's like you're walking around and you're so busy. It's like a child. Mommy, can you do this? Mommy, can you do this? Daddy, can you do this? Daddy, can you take me here? Daddy, can we spend some time? And when you don't do it, you're ignoring. You're neglecting that child. And it's the same with your dad. You know, you're so busy doing this, and he's just like, can I have a minute? Child, can you give me a minute? I just want to talk to you. Can I get a second? Can you give me a minute? But you can't hear him because you're so worked up in all your yoke. You don't hear the Father telling you, I just want to tell you I love you. Sometimes God just wants to say I love you. Sometimes a child just wants to say I love you. Sometimes he just wants to say how much he's so pleased with you. Sometimes he just wants to pour his love out on you. Sometimes he just wants to sit with you. You know, I analyze my children and I see the relationship they want to have with their father and I, and their eyes speak more. So, because the eyes are the heart to your soul, and I can see how much more they want from us and how much more we love to give them. I love taking them places. I love seeing their faces. I just love their expressions, their heart, and, you know, how they share it. And it just reminds me of how much God loves us for that. He loves that. He loves seeing our face, our expression. He loves to surprise us. And when he does, he just loves it. And you can know it if you just give him a second, just a second of your time. You know, it's not that Martha was overloaded. You know what happened? Martha allowed that overload to tear her apart. Sometimes we allow the overload to tear us apart. And we won't even know it until we're burnt out. Tired, exhausted, can't go no further. And God is like, you know, I tried calling you before this happened. I was telling you before this even came. I tried warning you. I've been trying to talk to you, but you kept ignoring me, and now here we are. You know, God doesn't wait till you're very broken so that he can stand there and be with you. No, he's been chasing you all this time. He chases us. He's relentless with his love. Relentless, relentless. You don't have to wait till your broken down, beat down vehicle. You can come before and get your lubricant, get your oil change, get your tune up, get a transmission flush. You can get your engine checked. He does this. He does this because that's what his promise is, for us to inherit the promise of the kingdom. How can you be kingdom people if you're a broken down vehicle? No one needs a burnt out pastor. No one needs a burnt out apostle. No one needs burnt out people. Burnt out people are not good to the kingdom. You don't have anything good to offer but bitterness. Bitterness. We don't eat. We're now in a new covenant where we no longer eat food of bitterness. That has now come to pass. And we no longer serve bitterness. We need to check our hearts on the regular. We need to check our minds on the regular. We need to be renewed constantly. If you're serving Jesus and you are difficult to live with, then that is a sign that is something wrong with you as a servant. You need to check yourself. If you're in a house and you're a good person, mind you, you're serving Jesus, there's something wrong with you. People need to see that there's still Jesus in you, that there's still love in you, that he's still there with you. You need to be with him. He's always with us. It's a promise he'll never forsake us. but where are you with him? So your key factors are, every day, spend time at the feet of Jesus. I want you to first write out your timeline, begin to time manage your time. Seriously, take time out. You just manage your time. See where you're spending, you're losing time. Where are you losing time? Where are you losing it? Because we barely sleep nowadays. You probably get 6 hours and you're probably good, but that's about as far as you're probably going. If you're oversleeping, then that's where you're losing time. Then you just need to break off that spirit of laziness, break off the spirit of procrastination, and begin to walk forward. And now manage your time. Let's take this thing seriously, because God is serious love. So the first thing, that's do the time management. The second thing you want to do is do every day you spend time at the feet of Jesus. I don't care what hour of the day, if you want to burn the midnight oil or you want to break through with the morning breakthrough, I don't care, but there has to be a time set apart first for Jesus. I promise you that your day will go smooth. I promise you that you would encounter a blessed day. Even when things come up in your day that seem to want to get in the way of what you're doing, I promise you, because you gave it to Jesus first, that he will do it. The second thing you want to do is you want to allow him to share his word with you. So begin to abide. Get a notebook. Get a journal. Begin to abide. Let God speak. When you begin to move the pen, you'll begin to see that God is starting to talk back to you. You're talking to him, he's talking to you. You're talking to him, he's talking to you. Okay? The third thing, you want to cast all you have to do that day to the Lord and allow him to lead the day for you. Because remember, Jesus goes before you. You don't go before him. He goes before you. He walks alongside with you. He doesn't walk behind you unless he has to put you in a position. But you are not to leave Jesus behind. You are to wait on him and give him the day and say, here it is, God. Have your way with it. Okay, so the next thing you want to do is, okay, so that's your list. That's it. You have your time management. You have your spend your day every day at the feet of Jesus. The second thing, you want to allow him to share his word with you. Begin to abide. Get a notebook. Get a fancy pen. Whatever's going to make you motivated, do it. And the third thing you want to do is you want to cast all you have to do that day to the Lord. Ask him to lead it. Ask him to be part of it. Bring him in on it. You know, so remember that it's important as a Christian that you believe and see that God sees what you do in private. It's not what you do out in the open. It's what you do inside. It's what's in your heart. See, because when you end up like Martha, so busy that you're not feeling blessed, it's because we forgot the blesser, okay? Remember that. When you start getting yoked up in your busyness and you're not feeling so blessed like a Christian, like a Christ-like person should feel, like a person of the kingdom, ambassador of the kingdom, it's because you forgot the blesser. So you need to go back, see the blesser. Nothing we ever learned from being Christ-like, we were born with. We weren't born with everything. We had to learn everything. But in tune with learning everything, we have to practice everything. I wasn't born driving. I had to learn it. I wasn't born knowing my ABCs. I had to learn it. But then I had to practice it, A, B, C, D. So find a method. Find a method that works for you to get you to remember things, to get you to start remembering scripture, start bringing yourself back into that balance. Because you can do it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Because Jesus Christ is sitting in your heart, because your heart is his throne. So let's not disregard him. Let's not put him to the side first. Let's get our priorities straight. And I hope that this teaching of spiritual balance is going to help you. Go back, listen to it, write down the important notes, and take heed to what the Lord is saying at this hour. And I thank you for calling in. And be tuned in for next Friday. You can email us at thehouseofpeter.com or at burn@isaiah60.org. And come in. You can give questions, whatever you want. Just do it as you please. If the Lord please you, just email us, and you can always we'll always get back to you. Until next Friday for another 30 minutes of impact. God bless.